Yes. Someone has their hand up already before I can even talk, so. I think this is on.
Good morning. I just want to thank every person that participated in the VBS. We had 33 kids attending. I wasn't here because I couldn't, but it was beautiful. Terry, Iris, Shade, Mary Liz, Karen wasn't here, but she helped also making some cookies and other. I don't remember others, but Susan, yay! We can clap for Susan. She was very helpful.
Oh, everyone clap for Susan.
Yeah. So it was beautiful. I think when we get together and help work as a body, we see that we can do many things for these kids and every person in Red Deer. So I'm happy. Thank you very much.
Okay, I will. What kind of surgery? Do you want to pray here? Okay. Thank God for that. That's good. We didn't know how that was going to work. We weren't sure, you know, who would come for Vacation Bible School. And we believe that there are many lives that were touched, many young lives that were touched. Thank you, God. And I love that last song. You know, He knows your name. Isn't that quite a thought? Isn't that a concept? I don't know about you, but I'm not good with names. Some of you are going, yeah, he still doesn't know who I am. But, you know, sometimes someone will come right to me and they go, yeah, I'm Dave. And like 3 seconds later, I'm going, did he say Doug? Because I wasn't listening, right? Isn't it great that God never comes up to you and he goes, I know you, but I know the face. You know, God never does that. God goes, there's Don. And that's my Don, right? That's my Don. There's my Willie and my Chris, right? They belong to me. These are my children. I give them a name. This is the Mitch that I created. You are mine. You're all mine. I'll never forget your name. Amen? Isn't that good? We forget people's names all the time. We're so busy doing our own thing. And for me, I guess, maybe just not, I'm not confessing for you, but just confess for me that not always a good listener, not always paying attention. God always pays attention. He always, you know, he knows. And there, it gets deeper than that. It's not just that he knows your name. That'd be fine that he knows your name. But it means something more than that. Because when he knows Mark's name, he knows Mark's heart. He knows what's going on. He knows what's deep in her heart. He knows what needs to happen. He knows what her needs are. He knows what Frank is crying out for. Not just that he knows your name. Revenue Canada know my name. That doesn't mean a lot to me. Let's not go there. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, he knows everything about you. He knows your inmost thoughts. Psalm 139 talks about that. This morning, God's leading me to have you share more this morning about the wonders of God. And I've just been thinking about that all week. You know, Psalm 9 and in Job, it talks about the wonders of God, that God is such a wondrous God. He does so much. He's so filled with love and so filled what he's done and the evidence of God and the proof that he cares for us. And I want you to share this morning. I want you to think about that. Think about the wonder of God. And you can do that this morning with a scripture, or you can do that with a short story. You can do that with just a little bit of maybe a prayer that's been answered. Some of us recently have had some prayers answered. I know there's still some prayers that are not answered. You don't think they're answered yet. But let's testify today about the wonders of God. This is a remarkable God that we serve. He is unbelievable. He is amazing. He is my Redeemer King. And he shows himself to me when my eyes are open. He shows himself to me all the time. In just the littlest thing sometimes in a huge big thing, sometimes in a triumph, other times in a tragedy, but God shows himself because he's a revealing God. Who has a story or who has a scripture or a prayer? Or who's first? How are we going to talk about the wonders of God? Maybe someone else can get that other mic and operate the back here. Come on, stand up, Marina. All right. Give him glory. Amen. Give him glory. Let's talk about the wonders of God. Let's talk about what God's done. Doug, you're not just stretching there, right? Okay, good. Hang on, he's not on 80. There we go. It will be now.
Yeah, Annette and I just got back from Ontario a week ago. We went and had memorial services for her mom, St. Catharines, and her dad, and Elliot Lake, passed away in February when Don and I went to California there. And her dad is a stubborn old Dutch guy, you know, just resisted God all his life. He was an abusive alcoholic when he was younger, actually, but he quit drinking 10 years ago. And he was in the hospital. He found out he had cancer, and he was dying of cancer, and he was gone in like 2 weeks. And, like, the pastor, Pastor Bob, is from this non-denominational church just like ours back in Elliott Lake. He went in there. The lady that he lived with, this Jamaican lady, Denise, said, "Pastor Bob, it's time. We got to go see Tony." And they went into the hospital, and Tony is just writhing in pain. You know, he's on his way out, and he's in terrible pain. And Bob just laid his hands on him like that and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, pain be gone." And boom, the pain was gone. The pain just left him, and he just calmed down, eh? Jesus just touched him. And then his girlfriend, I guess, Denise, just said, "Tony, God loves you. He sent his son to die for you on the cross. All you have to do is receive him and you forgive your sins. Would you like to receive him right now?" And he nodded his head. And I read the story of the thief on the cross at his funeral. And I just said, the thief was mocking Jesus. And then he just turned and he said, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today, this day, you will be with me in paradise." And Tony got in just on the last second of his life. Hallelujah.
That's the wonders of God.
Wonders of God. The wonders of God. You can tell any story you like, honey.
Okay, well, we just got back from Southern California, and I had an amazing thing. A horrible, horrible thing, but an amazing thing. God really heard my prayer. We were going to the beach one day, and Rachel, my daughter-in-law, and I were carrying this the stroller down these steps, because you have to go way down some steep steps to get to the beach. So, and I had thrown my purse onto there. So we went down, and we were in a hurry because we had an appointment to meet. So we just tore down the boardwalk there by the ocean, and I get to our venue. And lo and behold, the purse was gone. And I was just having a fit and going, "Oh, I hope the passports weren't in there." I knew that some things were in there that shouldn't be in there, like all my ID, my camera, everything. I just thought, I was just sick. I thought, "Oh, this is not good." So anyway, after we did our thing, we watched Kane play volleyball, we came back, and this whole time I was just thinking about this person. And my other daughter-in-law had walked behind us, and she didn't see any purse. She said there was no purse there. So I thought, well, where could it be? So when we got back, I looked everywhere, couldn't find it anywhere. And then I just prayed. I said, "Okay, God, I don't know what's going on here. I need that purse. I'm really nervous about the passports." So anyway, Stan and I drove 15 minutes to our other place to see if the passports were there. We found them, which was really good. But still, it was all everything, all the good stuff that was in there. I just kept praying, and God kept saying, "You know what? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me?" And I said, "Okay, God, I'm just going to give this to you. It's gone. The boardwalk is a very busy place. There's like always 100 people on it. And Southern California, they don't have the like nice people." I mean, they're nice people, but they're nice people. I shouldn't say that. They're great people. But there's a lot of homeless people and a lot of people who need stuff. And so I was just sure that's gone. That bag is gone. And so got in and just tried to forget it, tried to let it not wreck my life. And then the weirdest thing happened. We got a text from Barb Falk, and she goes, "I don't know what's going on, but I got this phone, I think phone call. Was it a phone call? Phone call from this lady who's found your bag. Here's the phone number." Like, I could not believe it. I could not believe it. And it was a bit of a hassle to get it back, but it came back. Everything was in it except for a little money. And, you know, and I just said, you know what? God, you are so good. You are so good. And you heard my prayer, and you wanted to test me. You wanted to show, you know, are you going to trust me?
Right.
So, yes, you can trust him.
Amen. The wonders. Amen. So we've learned that people living in Southern California may not be the nicest people, and that Dutchmen can be stubborn. Just kidding. The reality is that God does answer those prayers, and those are important things. Thank you, God. Iris, someone's got a... I don't know where the mic is down back there.
I just wanted to give God the glory for the past week when I was at the Vacation Bible School. Like the song says, he knows our thoughts, he knows our hearts, even more so than we know our own. I had condemned myself for being a bad mother since I was 15 years old. And I lost my kids and stuff from my behaviors and my actions, and even don't even have my chickadee back. But God is working on her. Yeah. And I was afraid to go to the Vacation Bible School because who I thought I was. Like, I had been condemned recently by Chickadee and by her friends and stuff, and then I fell off and I drank because it confirmed the condemnation I was giving myself already. So when I went to the Vacation Bible School, I was scared because I thought the kids would see a monster in me because I thought I was a monster. But they're so awesome. Like, they're just loving and trusting and innocent. And that was so amazing. And the Lord just brought me through. And I had fun. I learned songs. The kids liked me. And I was amazed that they liked me. And it was awesome. So I just, he healed my heart that week concerning the condemnation I was giving myself. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Woo-hoo. Amen. Rick, you want to give him that mic too?
I just want to say thank you to God. And there is a God, otherwise I wouldn't be here.
That's right.
For the last 11 months, I've been stuck in sin and shame. And it's amazing how much shame you can get and stuck in, and the devil just makes you feel that you're worthless. I know, just I felt a lot of prayers, and you know, no matter how I tried to ignore God, I could still hear His voice.
Right.
And I was just like, I don't want to hear You, God, right now, please. But He didn't give up on me, and He was always there. And Kim showed me love. Even though we weren't together, we were friends. And, you know, we're back together, we're dating, and I know now that my relationship with God has to come first before my relationship with Kim, and I have to be with God, and if I'm with God and God's with me, then everything else will fall in place in my life. And we were reading the Bible together, and it says in the Bible that we'll, for all our shame, we'll get abundance of grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
So God has given me a lot of grace.
Amen.
Because I have had a lot of shame. And I just thank you, thank God and Jesus for everything they do for me.
Amen. Amen. We love you. We love you. Stand up. I'm going to pray. God, you are God of miracles, and you're the God of new beginnings. And we prayed for Rick for just about a year here, and for all the drugs and stuff that he was involved in. Thank you that you are the Redeemer, that you set him free, God. And Lord, we don't know where this is going, and trust is hard to rebuild, but you are an amazing God. And we today are, we're speaking and we're testifying about the wonders of God. And there's nothing that you cannot do, God. So we pray for Rick and Kim. We pray for their children. We pray, God, for whatever you have in store for them, God, for unity, for restoration, for you to be glorified in their lives. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. That's the power of God, right? That is the power of God. Yes. Here, come on, stand up. You can't testify and sit down. It just doesn't work.
This is kind of really a cool thing for me to testify about because, it happened to me. I get these horrible spasms from time to time, and the one that I had several months ago was so severe that it left me with a deep hematoma that took months to grow out. I was black and purple and green for weeks, and it was excruciating. But yesterday, I got a spasm in my left bicep, and I was in immediate severe pain, and I immediately thought of the days of agony and the weeks of ugliness that was going to follow. But a brother in the Lord had a different idea. He decided to do something about it right then and there, and he took authority over that muscle in the name of Jesus, and he commanded it to relax, and it obeyed him immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you, God.
It works perfect today. There's no hematoma. There's no spasm.
Hallelujah.
I'm the brother that prayed for him. And Crystal, I'm from Southern California.
I think I'll get out of there.
January 1st, 94, Chris took me for a ride to Innisfail. I thought he was dropping me off, but he introduced me to Jesus.
Mm.
It's been 10 years that I've been a Christian. God's been working in my life. He's taken a guy who walked into town with a pair and a half of socks and has given me a life. It's taken 10 years, a lot of arguing on my side. I did most of the losing in the battles.
Mm.
But I've got my family that I've been replenished with, all past forgotten.
Right.
I have a family that I met that I was adopted from, and I've got complete peace. And I got a job where they wasted money putting my name on a card. Amen.
Love you.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Good.
Just when Stan said if anybody had a scripture or whatever, and I just kind of opened my Bible up, wasn't really looking for any specific verse. I just opened it up, and it opened up to Isaiah 49, and it says this: "Listen, far-flung islands, and pay attention, faraway people. God put me to work from the day I was born. The moment I entered the world, he named me." And I think that's what he was talking is that God knows our name. He gave me speech that would cut and penetrate, and he kept his hand on me to protect me, and he made me a straight arrow, and he hid me in his quiver. And he said to me, "You're my dear servant, through whom I'll shine." And then, but the servant goes on, he says, "But I said, I've worked for nothing. I have nothing to show for a life of hard work. Nevertheless, I'll let God have the last word. I'll let him pronounce his verdict." And I thought to myself, you know, sometimes as Christians, we go along and we think that, you know, we're working hard for God or this or that or whatever, and things don't go so well, and we think, what's going on? But this is what it says after that. It says, "And now God says, this God who took me in hand from the moment of birth to be a servant, what an honor for me in God's eyes that God should be my strength." "And And he says, but that's not a big enough job. So a lot of us have been Christians for whatever, 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, whatever it's been. And we've had these different jobs that we've done for God. And I'm not prophetic. It's not a gift that I have. But when I was reading this scripture, I believe this is a prophetic word for the church today. It goes on and it says this. I'm setting you up for a light for the nations so that my salvation becomes global. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that as we ask God to show us what's in our hearts and where there's been hurts, where there's been wounds, and we've all had them, as we ask Jesus into those places and those wounds are healed, watch out. Watch out what's going to happen with the church. It's going to get on fire, and watch what happens. There's going to be revival.
Thank you, Jesus.
All across our nation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'll take that. Would you do me a favor? Would you take Chad and pray for Luis? Yeah, Chad, and would you, Luis? Luis is having a surgery this week, right? I think it's a gallbladder surgery. I just heard about that this morning. Let's put our prayers into action. Let's pray for him. And maybe Gertie, would you join in too? So there's three of you standing around him, and let's pray for our brother right now. Thank you, God.
Light that they've brought to us, Lord, and light that they bring wherever they are. Father, thank you that your hand is on Louise now, and Lord, that your eye is on him, and that nothing will hurt or harm him in all this. Yeah. So God, we just lift him up to you. We pray for absolute total peace in his heart and his mind and his spirit, and that your spirit would just resonate in him, Lord. Lord, that this surgery will, you know all about it, Lord, and so that you'll be with the doctors, perfect wisdom. Their hands will be perfectly held by yours, Lord. And so, God, just bless Louise, bless his family with your perfect peace.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name, we thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, show my brother your grace and touch his gallbladder even now, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Luis, you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And you abide, and you're going to remain fixed and stable under the shadow of the Almighty.
Thank you.
Whose power no enemy can withstand. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray the blood of Jesus Christ over you and his deliverance power and his healing. In the name of Jesus, we claim that today for you. Amen.
And all the people said, amen. I know there's many of you with hands up still, and I'm sorry that we're not going to be able to get to all of you. But I think what we did do is we were able to testify to each other and to God that he is a wondrous God. Amen? That he is doing great things, that he is moving and he is directing, and that he is answering prayers. And we pray and we know and believe that even for the things that we prayed about today, that there will be answers, that God is faithful. We believe in a faithful God. Let's pray as we open God's word. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and that your word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We want to learn from your truth, not from the truth of man or not from truth that we thought was truth that we grew up with. There can be so many things that are distorted in our way of thinking. So focus our hearts and our minds on your word. Your word is powerful. And I pray, God, today that by your Holy Spirit, we will have a direct connection to you, that we will know your will and your truth, and that you'll speak clearly into our lives. Give me courage and clarity, and let your spirit move among us this morning. We're so blessed to be a part of you and to be a part of your church. We're so blessed to be led by your spirit, to be gifted by your spirit. You've given us so much. All we can do is just praise and thank your great and holy name, Jesus, our Redeemer and King. Amen. Amen. I agree with Crystal that it's good to be home, and it's always good to get away for a couple of days. We were gone for a week, but it's good to be back with where our real family is. And you know, sometimes when you're away, you just get a chance to get a new perspective. And even though I wish there was more time when you're gone, there's so much going on. I didn't get enough time to, you know, to be in the Word as much as you'd like to sometimes, because you got the kids and the grandkids and all kinds of things are going on. We still have opportunity to listen to God. And He's been reaffirming what I said a couple of weeks ago, that we just need to learn more about being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what God wants to do with us as we move into the fall season, and as we continue to follow Him, that we need to know more about how the Spirit is moving and how the Spirit is leading us, and what that looks like, what it tastes like, what are those gifts that He wants us to have, that He wants to endow us with, so that we can be effective. And that every part of us, every single one, is important. Every person here plays a role. And when someone isn't playing their role, or they're shirking the gift that they've been given, we all fail. We all are lacking. We're all hurting when that happens. So carrying on with that theme and remembering kind of the context of where that came out of, we were going through Revelation and talking about how more and more we're reaching more of the end times. And I'm thinking this week about, you know, all the plagues and the viruses and the Ebola and the danger of that, and the threat that has to the existence of so many people. And then remembering back to that seal that was opened and that one horse that we talked about a few weeks ago, I believe it's the fourth horse, where plagues are going to be unleashed in the end times, and that they're going to be, I believe it was, you know, one out of every four, 25% of people are going to lose their lives. And we can sit here today and go, well, you know, that might happen someday, but clearly this world isn't getting better or safer or more pure. Clearly, we are coming closer to the day when Jesus is going to return and a trumpet's going to sound. And there's lots of evidence of that. And I guess in all of that context, I'm being led today to move to Acts chapter 2 today. So if you have your Bibles, follow along in Acts chapter 2, the story of Pentecost. Yep. And we're going to talk about speaking in tongues this morning. So you might as well just get it right out. I'll tell you what we're talking about. I thought that on a, you might be disappointed, don't be clapping yet. Because honestly, there's very few subjects or themes or teachings in the church that have been more divisive than tongues. Some people, you know, thinking it's the only thing that's important. Other people thinking that, you know, that's something that has passed and isn't here anymore. Let's try to, first of all, understand each other. Be patient with a pastor who might be slow of speech. And realizing that this is a hard thing to talk about, I was waiting for a long weekend, hoping most of you wouldn't be here. That didn't happen. I thought you guys were camping. We need to learn about this because it's part of what God, you know, is saying. Here's one of the ways that the Spirit works in us. Although this is going to go maybe in a little different direction than what you might expect. So, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these men who are now speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs." That's a long list of people, by the way. "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, They have had too much wine. That's as far as we're going to read today. Now, they had too much wine. I mean, it was, you know, how it was hard to explain. They're trying to explain what was going on. It was quite an event that took place at Pentecost, as you know. But I've never been able to speak French any better just because I had too much wine. Like, that just didn't make a whole lot of sense. But they're trying to find some kind of a reason for why these people were speaking in their languages. One of the things that, the first thing that's striking in this passage is the all that we read about. There's all, if everyone is included. I'm going to start there. Everyone is included. We're talking about, there's 120 back in Acts chapter 1 in verse 15, it says, in those days Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. That's the all that they're talking about. And then we get to chapter 2, the story of Pentecost. We're told that all of them were gathered together. No one was camping that weekend. No one was watching football on TV. They were all together. They were all praying. And then it says a couple other things that what seemed to be tongues of fire, and this must have been miraculous, this must have been amazing to see this with your eye, but what seemed like tongues of fire seemed to come upon each of them, we're told, not just some of them. It wasn't just like 20 of them that got tongues of fire, but it says the tongues of fire came upon to rest on each of them, and then it says, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just the real spiritual ones, not just the super prayers, even the quiet ones, even the ones who are just kind of in the background. All of them, every single one of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they all began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wow. That's an event. This event of Pentecost was an event like none other. I'd love to have been there. And remember this, that Pentecost is the event that happened 50 days after the Sunday of Passover. So there was a Sunday of the Jewish Passover. 50 days later, it was called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. And on that day, on the day of the Feast of Harvests, the Holy Spirit came for the church of Jesus Christ because Pentecost is all about harvest. It's all about getting the message across. It's all about using the power that the Holy Spirit gives us and the gifts that we have, combining our efforts and our gifts so that the kingdom of God can be advanced. So that people hear about Jesus. So that we get to the part, just to the next chapter, where the question is asked, you know, how do we believe? What do we got to do here? And he says, you just have to be baptized. You got to repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This Pentecost event is about salvation. It's about harvest. And God, through His Holy Spirit, used the gift of tongues to bring people to that salvation. Now, again, like I said earlier, even talking about tongues can be kind of a daunting task. And there's all kinds of different opinions about tongues. And as a matter of fact, when you read the New Testament, it seems like there's different kind of tongues. I can think of at least three different ways that we understand tongues. One is people who speak in their own prayer language, and they call that tongues. And some of you know what that is. It's that personal prayer language. It's when you're just by yourself. And again, not everyone speaks in tongues, but there are some of us who do. And there's that personal prayer language, people speaking, and it's from within. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks about how my spirit prays. He says, my spirit sings, and my spirit prays. And that's probably the best way that I can describe that, or how it's been described to me by people who speak in tongues like that. It's your spirit. It's that intimate touch of your spirit that's inside of you that is praying. It's like singing. I think that when Paul says, my spirit prays and my spirit sings, again in 1 Corinthians 14, that's the best analogy you can think of. It's kind of like singing. It's kind of like, you know, if you've ever been out in the woods or you're just really feeling like you're praising God, you don't always have words. You just sing, you know. It's almost like yodeling. I'm afraid to use that term. But
Okay. Yeah, we want this on a recording. Okay. That we need to learn that this is what tongues is. That tongues is that this is what let me back up. This is what this form of tongues is. It is that we are understood. We need to learn to speak the language of the people that we're trying to share the wonders of God with. We speak evangelicalism pretty good. We speak religion good, but we don't always speak a language that people understand. And the one thing that's so fascinating about the story of Pentecost is that they all knew exactly what was being said. And what I mean by that is maybe we need to start learning to speak the language of the people who are on the streets. I don't mean speak bad words. I mean we need to understand who they are. We need to know where they're coming from. And those of you who have come out of those streets, you can do that, right? We need to learn to speak the language of success, quote unquote, for those who are in the corporate room or in the boardroom. And some people can do that. We need to learn to speak the language of sports to those who are in the arena of athletics. Crystal said that we were in L.A. I have a son who's a professional athlete. He makes his living as an athlete. If he was listening to this, and I hope he will be, this is a message for you, Kane, that you need to speak the language of athletics and sports to those people who are in that arena. You need to have that gift of tongues for those people. You know, we all think that it must be amazing to be make a living just playing a sport. And he travels all around the world. He gets to do that. He makes enough money that he's doing fine. But I got to tell you, it is a really dark place to be. That is a hard, he does not have a good life. I mean, he's got a good life, but it's hard to be a Christian. It's a very dark place. And of all the maybe 300 athletes that he hangs out with, from country to country, Austria to Germany to Rome to L.A., he knows very few who are Christians, very few who know the light. So I'm using it as an example, saying that he needs to be that voice. He needs to speak that language because God put him there for that purpose. And the question for you and me is, well, where are you? What arena are you in? Maybe it's the oil field. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's the streets. God wants to give you the gift. Here, I'm going to just say this. God wants to give you the gift of tongues. Maybe not the gift of tongues the way you've been thinking about it. He wants to give you the gift of language. And maybe you won't speak what the Parthians speak. That's not important. What's important is that you speak the language that whoever you're speaking with actually understands you. They actually get it when you're talking to them. To the person, to the mom, the busy mom with three little kids at home, who's speaking her language? That's my question. Who's speaking that language? Yeah. And that's what God says to us today in his word. That this is what Pentecost is. It's that I, through the Holy Spirit, this is God speaking, through the Holy Spirit, I give you language, I give you the ability to communicate, I give you tongues to speak where you are. Quit speaking in religious ways. Start talking in ways that people are going to understand. Get real. Get real. Every time I fly on an airplane, and I fly lots. I fly flown lots of times. You know how they go through that thing in the beginning? They're not called stewardesses. What do they call it? Attendants now? They tell you how to put your belt buckle in because we're all so stupid that we have no idea how to put that belt thing in to one side. And they go through the whole spiel, right? They go through the whole thing. And then they go, and now, en français, or however they say that. And honestly, it happened the other day when I was flying back, and I'm going, I should know this by now. You know, I've heard this so many times that I'm going to listen. I'm going to understand it en français. I just don't get it. I don't know it en français. I got it the English time, although most of the time I'm not paying attention. But, you know, you can start talking French to me, and even though I took French in school, I don't know hardly anything about it. And I'm just using it as an example, saying, you know, you can hear the same spiel 100 times. You're not going to get it. And those are, that's true for the people you're ministering to. It's true for some of the people you're trying to share the wonders of God with. They've heard the same spiel 100 times, but it just sounds like a foreign language. And it's time that we make it a real language by the power that the Spirit gives us. He gives us a spirit so that we can communicate, so that we can show people what it really is to see the wonders of God. Do you get that? You get that? Thank you, Lord. So I challenge you today. I challenge you. You going to say something? Yeah, in 1 second. I'm just challenging you to make this your prayer today, that there's someone in your life that you've been praying for, perhaps. Maybe there's someone that you're concerned about, or you're trying to minister, or you just want to see them come to Jesus. I know that for some of us, we have that. There's people we want to see get off the streets and get off the cocaine, and we want to see some people who are chasing after money, and it's just all that's important in their lives, and you're trying to get that message across to them. And you know, I can't tell you how to do that. You need the Holy Spirit for this part. Only the Holy Spirit, through the power of Pentecost, can show you how to speak in tongues, in the language that they'll understand. Pray. Pray for that. Pray that they will clue in, that the light will go on, that when you speak, they're going to go, that's my mother tongue. That's the home language. I know exactly what you're saying now. Scotty, I'm going to let you say something, and then we're going to pray.
Just a quick word that I got. It's just that love will be the verb. That love will be, there'll be people that won't, you feel you won't be able to relate to, but they'll see Jesus through you and through your actions, and they'll see the love.
Good word. Amen. That's good. And he's right. He's right, because ultimately, we can get into 1 Corinthians 13, that we can speak in the language or the tongues of men and angels, but if you don't have love, none of this is going to matter. You'll never be able to communicate. You'll never be able to speak in tongues, you know, without love, right? But know this, remember this, that everybody on that day understood. And I don't believe that's true today. There's lots of people who aren't getting it. They aren't hearing it. They aren't understanding. We ask today for the Holy Spirit to lead us. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. And we're not afraid of your gifts. We're not afraid of what you want to endow us with. And we look at this story of Pentecost, we see how vital, how important it was that those people would speak through the power of your Spirit in tongues, in languages, that literally thousands of people could hear the good news of Jesus. And today, just pray, God, that your Spirit would move and work in us in exactly the same way. I know that's what you want, God. I know that you want us to communicate and to speak in words that can actually be absorbed in people's hearts, that they know what we're saying, that we are understandable. That's our prayer. Make us understandable. Help us to speak clearly. Give us love, Lord. Let your love just flow from us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, because only you can do this, Spirit of God, that you would open people's ears and their hearts as we are bold in bringing a message, that you'll open their ears and their hearts to receive it, that they will be amazed and perplexed at the wonders of God. Thank you for just revealing that to us today, the power of the wonders of God, and that's all we need to say. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.